But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hey, welcome back, welcome back. Well, today I'm going to be starting a brand new series with you, a series on prayer. Yay! This is by far my most favorite topic to talk about, because obviously you have a ministry called Missionaries of Prayer. It was founded on and based on prayer. And so the Lord has asked me to start this series on prayer with you and go through different things. You know, I want to share a little bit of my own personal testimony and my own growth in prayer, and then just give it to you from the scriptures, how it lines up with my own personal growth and what the Lord has shown me about prayer. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So let me pray and then we can jump right in here. Lord, Abba Father, I just thank you so much for communion with you, for the fact that we have access to you through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, his death, burial, and his resurrection. And for the gift of the Holy Spirit that completely connects us with you, Lord, and allow us to really understand your heart and come into union with you, God. And so, as we start, or should I say continue, this series on prayer, I pray that you're just with us and that you are teaching us and allowing our ears to be open to whatever it is that you would say to us in this time. And more than anything else is to give us a hunger and a desire to pray, to want to be with you and to pray. I ask that you would bless this time right now. Anoint our ears, God. Be with us in this teaching, Lord, and minister to our hearts your truth. We love you. We thank you for pouring out your anointing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I did do one class already called Beginning with Prayer. And I focused in that class on communing with God, really. Spending time with the Lord and allowing yourself to get into the presence of the Holy Spirit as the beginning of prayer. So this is like the next step from that. And so the Lord has asked me to break this down for you slowly, each piece in prayer. My own personal life and prayer has evolved as I've grown in the Lord more. And I will tell you that I believe it was the second week that I was saved, I got brought into the prayer team at my church. So I was asked to pray over prayer requests. So I kind of got thrown into my gifting early on. God just made it so that I would be there in that ministry. And so I've seen myself grow over the years. And I've seen how things have changed and how he has caused me to change with prayer. How I do it, when I do it, and how things work with prayer. It's really changed for me over the years. So I want to say, first of all, with me, I remember when I was just starting out that I would, you know, I'd be afraid of praying aloud. I would get very intimidated because I would hear other people pray And I would say, oh, but they pray so much better than I do. I don't sound like them. And so I would be afraid to pray aloud, because I would feel like I might not have the right words. Then I would think the next thing would go into, well, I can't pray for as long as they pray. You know, they pray and they could go on forever and ever. Amen. I can't do that. Be like, after 2 minutes, I'm done. I ran out of things to say. So that was another thing. Or when I would pray, it would come from a very choppy place, and then it wouldn't be as eloquent as someone else's prayer. And then I would, like in the beginning, because I was in a very conservative church, the thee and the thous and the, you know, it sounded like you needed some kind of a degree to learn how to pray, because it just sounded on such a high level that I was like, I don't know if I would ever get to this place where it was good. And I guess as I went along, the Lord just started to show me that the key, the biggest key to prayer, is being honest when you go to the Lord. Remember, He knows everything about you. So it really doesn't matter that you are eloquent, that you have all the right words, that you can pray for 1 hour straight and not repeat yourself. None of that is, it's not that. It's your honesty when you get before Him. You know, He said that we should allow the little children to come onto Him. That means that a child can pray. One of the greatest times I had in prayer and in a prayer ministry was when I started working with kids. It was the most beautiful and the most refreshing time in my ministry, because the innocence of a child in prayer, it's beautiful. When you hear children pray and you hear the complete trust in God in their prayers, and you hear the honesty in their words, and you hear the simplicity of the words that they use, and you realize that this is coming from a genuine place. This is not something that is being formulated to make it sound good for the adults. No. And then I realized that I actually enjoyed listening to the kids pray more than I enjoyed listening to the adults pray. And so from that point on is when I realized that the key was to be honest. Now, I understand that if you're praying in a public forum with other people around, you might not necessarily want to be completely honest about everything that's going on with you, because you have to use wisdom in what you share and what you pray in front of other people. That's good. But when you are alone with the Lord, you need to be as honest as possible. It's just between you and the Lord. That means that you need to go there, to all the places that you would never normally go or even think of going. You need to go there with the Lord. You need to bring out the good, the bad, and the ugly. The ugly truth about yourself and how you are feeling. Because I can tell you for a fact, it is in those places of honesty that I get the greatest breakthrough. It is in those places of God saying, I want you to do this. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that, Lord. Why would I do that? It's in these places that I get the greatest breakthrough. Because when I am telling God how I am truly feeling on the inside, is when He can then step in and change me. That's when He can step in and say, okay, well, I'm telling you to do it because of this, or I'm saying this to you because you're looking at it wrong. But if I keep that in and I try to pretend with God, like as if He doesn't already know that, oh, of course, I'm going to do, my master, what you say, but inside of my heart, I have a whole other agenda going on, I'm not going to get anywhere. So you need honesty. Remember that The first thing, when you go to the Lord and you are alone, you need to be honest about who you are, about what you are feeling, and go from that point. That's number one, the honesty. Number two, do not mistake honesty for irreverence. These are two different things. I can say I feel a certain way, and I can acknowledge that my feelings are wrong because I know what the Word of God says. That's not being irreverent to God. That is me expressing to the Lord how I feel. Irreverence to God is saying it's somehow His fault. He did this to you, and He's at fault in all things, because we already know He's perfect. So if somewhere in the equation somebody missed something, that would be me. I missed it. I messed up. I'm the wrong one that got it wrong. I am the one at fault, because God is perfect and He can make no mistakes. So then I need to accept the responsibility for where it all went wrong. It's not God's fault. Okay? So you can be honest without being irreverent. And there is a difference between the two. Keep that in mind. Okay? Talking about honesty and change, if you think of the story of Jacob wrestling with the Lord, right? And he said, I'm going to put the scripture up on the screen. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And then the Lord said to Jacob, what is your name? Now, do you think God doesn't know what his name is? Of course he knows what his name is. But the reason why he asked him his name is because his name was supplanter, deceiver. From his birth, he's been deceiving people. From his birth, he's been doing these things that are not right. From his birth. And he went so far into being that person and getting away with it that he thought he was going to get away with being that person forever. Until he gets to a place and he realizes, okay, this isn't working anymore. I know there is more. I know there is another level in God. I know there is something else that I'm supposed to be or go to. There's another height there, and I can't get there. And so God had to reveal to him, who are you? Tell me who you are. Because where you want to go to, I cannot take you with you being you. So what's your name? And so when he said Jacob, that was him being honest. What's your name? Deceiver. What's your name? Liar. What's your name? Adulterer. What's your name? I am a cheat. What's your fate? I am a counterfeit. What's your name? I'm fake. What's your name? I'm trying to pretend that I'm somebody that I'm not. What is your name? I'm kind of jealous. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God asked him what his name was, he said, this is who I am. He finally acknowledged he was honest. And it was at that moment God said, okay, now that you are honest with me, I can change you. Now I can take you from being that Jacob into your new name, which is now Israel. So you can't get to certain levels in God until you're honest with who you are to Him. You're not going to tell this to the entire world. This is between you and the Lord in prayer, okay? Honesty will bring about that change in prayer. And then the Lord says, okay, now that you've acknowledged it, I'm going to show you how I'm going to change you, or what needs to be changed to get you to where you need to go. Okay, this is so important. And the beautiful thing about being honest with God in prayer is that then it allows you to acknowledge who you are, your faults, And then he then gives you a new identity and say, well, from this day forward, here's who you're going to be. And you can step into that. And what I have found is the people who are the most honest with God in prayer tend to be the most authentic people you will meet in public. Why? Because if you can be real with God and God embraces you for who you are in that prayer closet by yourself, then you tend to be more open and vulnerable to people and more authentic when you live your life, because you're not hiding anything. Because the creator of the universe, the Most High God, has already accepted you. And you know that. And the change has already happened, or it's in process, so you can then freely say, okay. It leads to authenticity. So that's what I'm going to say to you, okay? If you remember these points. And then I'm now going to go into the quintessential prayer to learn how to pray. And it is the Lord's Prayer. And it is in two scriptures in the Bible. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. And it's also in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Now, I'm not going to read every single scripture for you because the scriptures that I have for you today are very long. So I'm going to read some, and others I want you to read it on your own. So I'm telling you to read on your own Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. And then the one that I'm going to read with you here today is Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. Now, it's interesting that in the Bible, the disciples never asked God, teach us how to work miracles. Teach us how to do signs, wonders, and miracles. Teach us how to turn water into wine. None of that. The one thing they wanted to know from him is, teach us how to pray. And I think that is because they saw there's so many scriptures in the Bible where Jesus got up early in the morning and went to pray. He was always going into the presence of the Lord. If you think about Moses, when he got into the presence of God, when he came out of God's presence, he was glowing. There was a light coming from him. And so at that moment, they must realize, okay, there's something happening when you go to pray that we need to know about. Because imagine Jesus is going away in private. Right? Pretty much everything else he was doing was public ministry. But his prayer life was a private thing. And so they knew when he came back from that private time alone with God, he was a different person. He changed. And he was able to do his ministry from that private place of prayer. That's why they wanted to know. Tell us how you do it. Okay? Teach us how to pray. So here's what he says in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's the prayer. Now, do you believe that every single time that Jesus went before the Father, that he said this same thing over and over and over and over again? No. Actually, if you go and read the Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 13 that I tell you, it says, don't be like other people, just repeating the same thing over and over again. Okay? So then, if this is not what he said every single time he went into prayer, why did he share this? What he was actually doing by sharing this was giving them a model for prayer. It's a framework of how you should pray. A framework. It's like saying, Here are the components that need to be in your prayer when you go to the Father. These are the things that you need to acknowledge and put in place in your prayer when you go to pray. That's basically what he was doing. And so he broke it down as a prayer, saying, this is the model. Use this model when you go to pray, and that's how you should pray. So what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to break down the model. And then I'm going to superimpose a prayer that we would normally pray, anybody, with the Lord's Prayer so you can see the pattern. This might end up being a two-part series, just saying. I mean, this part on the Lord's Prayer itself, because I'm not sure if I'm going to get through everything today. Doing the two. So let's start with the breakdown of the prayer. It's in three pieces, okay? And the three pieces are reverence to God. That is the first section of the Lord's Prayer. The second section is ask for what you need today. And then the third section is address your sin. So think of it as the three pieces. Reverence to God, ask for what you need today, and address your sins, okay? So when you go to the Lord in prayer, you need to have those three pieces there. That's basically what he's saying. So let's talk about, first of all, it says, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, so then the first question becomes, well, what is prayer? Based on this scripture, watch me butcher this Greek now, help me, is prosusomai. This is the Strong Concordance in the Greek, number 4336, prosusomai. It means towards, exchange, to wish, to pray. To exchange wishes, to pray, literally to interact with the Lord by switching human wishes and ideas for his wishes as he imparts faith, which is divine persuasion. I'm going to say it for you like this. It's an exchange of wishes. You're giving him something, he's giving you something. That's what prayer is. It's an exchange of wishes. Interacting with the Lord by switching human wishes and ideas for his wishes as he imparts faith. So I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I need to have an answer from you of where I'm going to live, okay? I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to move to this place because that's what I would like. Those are my wishes. I say this to him in prayer. And in that moment, he then imparts upon me what his wishes are, okay? And a faith is given in that. So he's imparting faith and saying, yes, I'm going to answer this prayer for you. All right. So there is a divine exchange that's happening in prayer. Okay. It's not a one-way street. The two things are happening at the same time. Right. Imagine that. That's so beautiful. There's an interaction and an exchange happening when you pray. Okay. That's what prayer is. So the first part, it's reverencing God. Who is he as it relates to your prayer? Who is God as it relates to your prayer? To know this, you have to understand the character of God, and you have to understand the attributes of God, and it would be helpful for you to understand and know the names of God. Now, you know, I've said it from the very beginning that you're not going to go anywhere without the Bible. There's absolutely no way you can know the character of God, the attributes of God, or the names of God if you don't read the Bible, because it's all in the Word of God, right? So, first of all, it says, the prayer, it's verse 2. He says to them, when you pray, in other words, when you go to exchange your wishes and God imparts the faith upon you for those wishes, say this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We acknowledge first that he is our Father, we are his children. So when we go to him as little children, we're expecting that what we're asking for from our Father, he's going to give us what we want. Because as the word says, we're not going to ask him for food and he's going to give us a snake. We're not going to say we want this and he gives us this instead. No. If our earthly father know how to give good gifts to their children, everybody here, how much more does our Father in heaven? So he wants to give us good things. So we acknowledge that he is our Father first and foremost. Where is he? He's in heaven. That means he's sitting above and he's looking down at everything going on the earth. That means whatever it is that you're asking for, he already knows the outcome of that prayer. He already knows where that road is going to lead. He already knows if that's a good thing for you to have or not. Why? Because he's up in heaven looking down at everything, right? It says, Hallowed be your name. Hallowed, what is that? That means holy is your name. Your name is holy. It is consecrated. It is set apart. It is sanctified. Why is this important? Well, if I'm going to come to the Father and I'm going to say, let's say I'm sick and I need to be healed. Hallowed be your name. The only reason why I'm going to the Father and I'm hallowing his name is because I know that his name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. So I'm honoring his name that is holy and set apart as healer. I am addressing him because I know he is the God who heals. If I have my bills to pay and I go to him, I'm gonna honor him and hallow his name as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. I know what his name is, right? If I feel like I need protection because I don't feel safe and I go to him, I'm hallowing the name of Jehovah Sabaoth. I'm honoring the commander of heaven's armies. I am honoring Jehovah Nissi, the God who is my banner. I know his name, therefore, because his name tells you who he is. So when I'm going to ask him for something, I am not asking a God who doesn't have that or embody that or can't give that to me. That's why this is powerful. When you hallow God's name, you are saying, I know who you are. I'm not coming over here shaking like a leaf. Is he gonna do it? No, I don't have to do that because I already know who he is. How do I know who he is? I read my Bible. And I know what the Bible says. And I'm going to give you some links in the description that's going to lead you to a checklist on the attributes of God so that you can learn God's attributes. So that when you're praying the prayers that you are praying, you already know this is who he is. I'm going to give you a link that's going to show you the names of God. There's so many names of God that I don't think I've ever found a resource that has all of them. There are so many of them. But I'm telling you, by understanding who he is and who he says he is, then your prayers are going to become more powerful. Because from the beginning of the prayer, you are asking for something from someone that you know can do it. This is the thing. And so it removes the doubt. You see, that's why the divine exchange that's happening in prayer, you make your wishes known and he imparts the faith upon you. Why is the faith coming to you? Because you know the name. You hallowed his name in your requests. Do you see how that works? All right, so I see that we are out of time already. So next week, I am going to pick it up from here. I'm going to pick it up from here. So really, all we've done so far is our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's all we've done so far. Next week, I will go through the rest of it. But start with that this week. Start this week. I'm going to give you the links in the study guide. Get into the study guide and get those links so that you can start to learn who God is, his attributes, his character, his names. Because this is what will help you in your prayer when you understand who God is. Right? Yes. And then this will just bring your prayer life to another level. Because Jesus said, this is how you pray when you pray. All right, I'm going to pray for us. And I will pick up this Lord's Prayer or the Our Father Prayer next week and complete this section of it. Okay, God, you are wonderful. You are holy. You are righteous. You are so good to us. You are the illuminator of all truths. And I thank you for opening our eyes to your truth. I pray that this week we will take the time to study your word, understand who you are, hallowing your name, your character, your attributes, so that we will be built up in faith when we come to you in prayer, Lord, knowing exactly who you are. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so next week I will continue. Check the description box below for the links to the study guide and to other resources. All right, thank you so much for joining me. We'll see you next week. Bye.